Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Let's pray. Father, you're a delight. You're just so sweet and honorable and such a gentleman. And so, Father, that's something that we all want to emulate and understand in our own lives. So we pray that by your Spirit you would touch us today and help us to understand that with responsibility comes the ability to respond. So we ask you that we might respond to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, and you don't have to turn there. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul." 2 days ago, the cow lot behind our ranch house was a cacophony of sounds. Cows whose calves were being weaned were mooing in protest, an incredible variety of deep and high-pitched noises. On a ranch, it's called bawling. The mothers were bawling for their babies, making such noise that if the babies were bawling back, I couldn't hear them. I felt sad for both the cows and the calves, but I knew this yearly ritual must take place. It was time for the babies to grow up. Yesterday, I looked out my window and saw the calves contentedly living in the pasture, stomachs full of green grass, unbothered by their mother's cries, which were only slightly less adamant than the day before. The calves had adjusted, but the adults were taking longer to get used to the change. It's harder on parents than it is on the children when they leave the nest. Let's pray once more. Father, help us as parents to understand that you are the one that ultimately is in charge, and we just let you do your thing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to read a verse from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Now, I'm going to read it from several different translations. So if you'll just listen carefully, Proverbs 22, 6 from the NIV reads like this. "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." That's the NIV. Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's the King James Version. Proverbs 22:6, "Point your kids in the right direction, and when they are old, they won't be lost." That's the Message. And Proverbs 22:6, "Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it." That's the Living Bible. Everyone is born with certain abilities or talents. You get a talent when you're born. You get a spiritual gift when you're born again. Do you understand? Everybody is born with talents. Everybody is given a spiritual gift when they're born again. All right? So we're to train up a child in the way he should go. God has a way. He wants the child to go. Parents are to find out that way, not the way they want them to go. Each child is given a certain talent at birth, and these talents are revealed by what the child is interested in and enjoys doing. Some have musical talent. Some have the ability to draw and paint pictures. Some like math and science. Some like acting and speaking. Some like medicine, and others like social work and make good counselors. Some are apt to teach. Discover what your child's interests are and lead them in that direction. Since God gave them that desire, He can use their God-given talents to change the world. Why do some young people leave the church? Why do some young people who've been raised under the gospel by godly parents leave the church? Here are a few ways that parents drive their children out of church. One, they complain about the preacher or the music or the elders. They point out the hypocrisy of some of the church members. That's how it starts. Two, when you tell your child no and they want to know why, just say, "Because I said so." If you have a reason, tell them what it is. All right? Three, children will try to play one parent against the other. They try to get a yes from one parent when they know the other parent has already said no. Husbands and wives should have a united front. Be agreed together. Don't let the child put a wedge between you. Tell your child that you don't trust them. That really works. If you say, "I don't trust you," they'll give you a reason not to trust them. Okay? Be fun to be around. The old bah humbug routine gets old. Now, if you don't enjoy your children or your friends or unhappy about your life, why should they want that kind of life for themselves? Remember, your children are God's gift to you. You were also meant to be God's gift to them. Model your life after Jesus and make him part of your family life. If you say, it's too late, I've blown it, they're gone now, then keep praying for them. And also remember, God has a backup plan, and it's called Grandma and Grandpa. Okay? Because Grandma and Grandpa offer structure and stability that's been learned in the trenches, and they've been there and they've done that. You'd be surprised how many children are more influenced by their grandparents than they are by their own parents. Now, the understanding is we're talking about godly Christian parents and Christian young people, all right? There's no secret formula for raising a child, but I believe God gives the right child to the right parent and the right parent to the right child. I'm talking about Christian now, okay? I believe that. Now, I'm going to give you an example of my own father. My dad was a believer for many years, but hadn't been a receiver. See, he believed in Christ, but he'd never received Christ. It's like if you believe you're going to have company and friends are coming over, and you believe they're coming, but you don't invite them in, that's a problem. Many people think that believing is the end of the story. But the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. So believing it is a start, but receiving it is the finish. And so I think people have to understand that. Now, my dad was a believer, staunch Roman Catholic, fine man, certainly a believer, but he didn't understand this Christian thing that my mother had gotten into. And suddenly now I had gone off the rails and I was going to become, quote, a missionary. Heaven forbid. So my dad took me out in the car one day and he said, hey, son, I want to talk to you about something. He said, you know, I read about these missionaries who went to the Auk Indians. He said, and they were talking to these Auk Indians, and the Auk Indians shot them and killed them on the spot. He said, I didn't think that was very wise. He said, I don't understand that. I don't get it. He said, but let me say something, you son. He said, whatever you do, I'm going to support you 100%. Now, it's not too late to pray. It's not too late to model the life of Christ where you are now. And remember, young people, today, most of them have never been to church. I'm talking about church young people that are leaving. And quite frankly, when you see what they have to face and the hurdles they have to cross and the rivers they have to swim, you realize you can understand sometimes why. I'm not justifying it. I'm not making it right. But I'm telling you the truth. What kind of a person would you like your child to be? Like you? That's for you to decide. But I want to say something. None of us are perfect. None of us get it right 100%. But Jesus does. And the thing you have to understand is you cannot change somebody else's life. But Christ can change yours. And the best demonstration of the Christian life that young people can see today is what you are now. All right? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Are you? Or do you still walk around with the same bah humbug? Don't like this, and I don't like this, and the world's a mess, and we're headed for doom. And is that a new creation? Do you know that word new creation means? It's a Greek word, creation means poema. You're a new poem. There's a new lyric to your life. There's a new meter, a new cadence, a new sound, a new music, a new way of walking, a new way of talking, a new way of praising. It's not too late. You've got today and tomorrow, and God willing, the day after that. You see, you may not be able to be the most faithful person in the world for a year or a month or a week, but you can for 5 minutes. And you can for 20 minutes. And you might find it for a day. Then after a while, it's like quitting any kind of addictive lifestyle. After a while, you replace it with something wholesome and pure and wonderful. Where are your children now? Well, I know you don't want to let them go, that they're taking it better than you are, and they'll handle it better than you do, because that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And you know, we are afraid that our children will fall into traps, and we can't allow our fears to dictate that. God is a God who delivers, not destroys. And so when my sons were born, and the oldest one, I said this before, was the reason some animals eat their young. He's the most faithful of the three. He's iron-willed and set in his ways, and he's always right, and most of the time he is. And he's got his flaws, but he is the most stable, consistent, God-fearing, and he married the most wonderful Bible college graduate Christian girl. And although you would say, I can't see them together, they see one another, and they're together. And then, of course, I have my youngest son, who is all over the planet at the same time. He's the kind of guy that he has his finger in every pie, and he eats them. He has childlike confidence. He has childlike confidence. And I told you this story before. Can you believe that he called to get a job in New York in Times Square? Okay, because he wanted an office in Times Square. So he looked on the internet, found a company that had an office in Times Square, and he called them up and said, I want to interview for the job. When he got there, they said, well, what qualifies you? He said, what do you do? They said, what? He said, what do you do? They said, well, we do this promotion through the telephone, and we represent this company. He said, oh, he said, are you qualified? He said, not a chance. They said, what did you come down here for? He said, I want an office in Times Square, and you've got an office. They said, well, this is ridiculous. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll work for you for 2 weeks free. Won't cost you a thing. And if there's anybody better on the floor than I am, you hire him. And he was the best employee they had. Now, where does that come from? It didn't come from me. I'm too short for that. I got to give his mother some credit for that. But nonetheless, he's got that quality. And then there's Ryan. Now, I don't know where he came from. The grace of God. The grace of God. Seven languages. I hardly speak English that well. But what's interesting about all that is, one thing I have to say, I always allowed my children to have their own dreams. I always told them that I believed in them. I always told them that I trusted them. I always told them that I was proud of them. And I always told them that I loved them. Now, I think it's the grace of God. But you know, behind the scene, who was one of the strengths, the foundations for all of that? It was called Grandma. My mother. Grandma. So if you're a grandma, get on the job. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We're thankful for all that you've done and will do in the lives of our children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.